It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 288. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please remember to visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or ask any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and I have one voicemail for tonight. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Don't forget to visit the Mike Tech Show Wiki. That's at mtswiki.com. And, of course, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, so you can find out when I'm going to do a surprise show, like last Tuesday night. And, you know, sometimes on a Sunday, I'll set up and do a show. The way to find out what's happening and when the fresh content's posted is follow me on Twitter. First, an important email that I have to read right away before we do anything. And certainly, I want to take a moment, and I know all of you in the sound of my voice and watching and listening that my family, myself, our thoughts and prayers are going out to everybody in Haiti. It's just a terrible disaster. And it's so hard that if you can just, whatever you can do to donate to the Red Cross, whatever you can do to help. And I know so many, you know, millions of people are trying to help and they can't even get the help in there. And it's a logistics nightmare just trying to get them the resources that they need. This is from Neil, who's in the chat here. And he says, hi, Mike. Neil here from South Florida. I know you are recording a show tonight, and I know the Haitian earthquake and recovery missions are on everyone's mind. Is there a tech angle? Yes, there sure is. As I have told you before, I do tech support in a hospital radiology department. One of our doctors came to me today, since I am a longtime hospital employee. He said, Neil, I have a friend who is flying in by helicopter from the Dominican Republic to Haiti. I need to gather antibiotics and pain medication donations as soon as possible. I was able to direct him to the administrative personnel who could arrange acquisition of those donations, and a few hours later, he was able to report back to me as successful in acquiring donated supplies for his mission. In South Florida, we have a large Haitian American population. While this disaster is worldwide news, it seems to hit us a little closer due to our proximity to the Caribbean and the large number of Haitian immigrants we have here in our community and as co-workers. This is a terrible tragedy. Please ask your listeners to support the charitable agencies collecting money and supplies for the victims of this disaster. And I absolutely will have links in the show notes where you can donate. The show on tap for tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about Apple TV, because I bet you didn't know I had one. I decided to do a couple things to it. And there's a tie-in to that with my opinion on CES. So I'm going to cover a little bit of that. I also have some interesting hacks and utilities that this all relates to. I'm going to talk about my consulting job on Saturday, and oh my, waiting to hear about that. And then I have a voicemail, couple email, and that should do it. GoToMeeting, the absolute best online meeting service that you can have for one flat rate. You can hold unlimited meetings. You can have multiple presenters, hand off for one person presenting to another very simply. Everybody attending, it's just one click to start, and they see your screen on their screen. So it's very simple to communicate your ideas, your presentation, whatever it may be. It supports voice over IP, It is a tremendous value. You can get a 30-day trial free by visiting gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free trial. My client on Saturday required a Sybase SQL Anywhere database upgrade. And this all started because of an application called Needles. Now, Needles is case management software. The one partner bought a system from me for Windows 7, using Windows 7 and a professional. And we found out that we have to upgrade the back-end database. Okay, not a problem. Well, after you upgrade the database, you have to upgrade the database on every single workstation. Okay. So, I have these 33 pages of instructions from Sybase and Needles. And I review them and make sure I'm ready. I actually have my oldest son come down to help me out so we can do all the workstations together. So, I go down and I get there and I uninstall the version 9. And I'm thinking, okay, no problem. You know, if everything seemed to go well. I have to change some things on the ODBC drivers. And once I do this and I'm on the server, and of course, I backed up the database and I have a very good copy, so I know I can always get back. Well, after I remove Sybase 9.0, I have all the instructions to install 11. I put the CD in, and would you believe this? The CD could not read. I said, well, it may just be the drive on the server. I take that CD to 4 different workstations, and all I need is just one of them to just let me copy the Sybase software, the version 11, onto the hard drive. And I can't, because the CD, there is just a little itty-bitty scratch in it that you can barely see, but obviously it was causing all of my troubles. One thing that I'm very thankful for, I called Needles support and they got back to me on a Saturday because I marked it urgent and it was phenomenal. They called me back because now I'm stuck. I have to reinstall 9.0 and I have no instructions, and 9.0 is a little different than 11. And I wanted to make sure it was done right. Let me tell you, one of the best things you want to hear from someone calling you back on tech support. He says, Mike, I am here with you until you get this totally up and running for your client. I never felt any better than that. And it didn't take that long. I was able to get 9.0 installed. What I really wanted was a place that I could download 11, but Sybase does not allow a download. It's a trial version. And then I didn't want to go through this again where I put a trial version out there, go through all that work, and then have to go back and do it again. So I said, you know what? I'm cutting my losses. I'm going to do the 9.0, get it back, make sure it's working, and then live to fight another day. And that's going to be this Saturday. But I'm ready. I have the cell phone number of the tech support guy who just lives in Baltimore, so not far away. And I am ready because they shipped out a new CD. And on Tuesday, when my client received it, I said, put that in the drive of the server because I'm remoting in and I'm going to copy everything to make sure I did. And I copied it to the hard drive. I copied it to an external hard drive. So I know I have a fully functioning, working 11.0 files. So a great tech support story. Because it's so nice when you have someone that empathizes with you and they know I was kind of worried about getting this up and running, and it was very good. So I'm ready for Saturday, and my son's going to come down with me again. But we did get some other things done. It wasn't a waste. We had to extension cables to move a one system and formatted 3 Western Digital Passport external drives that they're going to swap for backing up. I went through all that and got a lot of good things done. It wasn't a waste of time, but it was cold. It was 10 degrees last Saturday morning in Center City, Philadelphia, and it was freezing. Walking on, you know, JFK Boulevard to my client in like what was a wind tunnel of big buildings, and just we were just so frozen. So I know it's not going to be that way this Saturday. All right. I said I was going to mention Apple TV. Now, here's the tie-in to CES. Something I don't understand. Someone's got to help me here. I know Boxy has a device, Pop Box, Kit Roku, a whole bunch of people coming out with TV set-top boxes that can stream media. Well, the Apple TV, yes, it ties into iTunes, but you want to know something? It is so easy to hack. There is a great program, and it's called ATV Flash. Now, I know I'm kind of late to the game in talking about hacking, because that's what it took me a while before I decided to hack it. But I'll tell you, it works great. When you see all the features that you can do, I can have Boxy. I can run everything that I need to run for streaming my movies that are downloaded, any kind of file. Now, someone just asked, Reliant just asked, does it support Netflix? I don't see a Netflix app, but you know what? It wouldn't surprise me that they wouldn't have it, you know, or that it's coming, or that you could get it. I can use Boxy. The apps and everything that you want to run, it's you can FTP, you can SSH, you have Neato TV, Couchsurfer Pro. I even installed Firefox. That's right, because you know what the device is? It's really a Mac Mini. You have Sapphire, ATV Files, Air Control Beta, XBMC, Boxy. It is very, very nice. So, I don't get it. Why is this new? Apple TV, this has been out for a while. Now, let me tell you something that I wanted to do. Now, with installing ATV Flash, I decided, hey, wouldn't it be cool to control this with my iPhone? Just to let you know, the ATV Flash, you build a USB stick, you unplug the Apple TV, you plug this USB stick in, you fire it up, you plug it back in again, and it automatically installs a script. Takes a couple minutes, and when it's done, it tells you to just unplug the unit, pull out the USB stick, plug it back in, and away you go. Your system's hacked, and you still have full functionality of all the menus and all the syncing of everything that you have for Apple TV in syncing to iTunes. I want to remote control the Apple TV with a little app, just $4.99. What harm could it do? It's just so simple. It's a little app. Well, I install the app on my iPhone, but then there's a server component that you have to FTP over to the box. So I FTP it, and then there's a little SSH script. So I run this SSH script, and once it runs, my system reboots, and I don't see a menu again that night. I mean, I unplugged it, I plugged it back in, and I thought, oh my Apple TV is bricked. I couldn't do a thing. No menus, you get the little Apple logo, and I was mad. And I was like, this little $4.99 app ruined my Apple TV. I looked online, I didn't see this happened to anybody else. They did have support. So I said, you know what? I am going to kick out an email and let's see if I hear back. Monday morning, I woke up and awaiting me was an email from the person who wrote the app and said, Mike, fear not. You can reset your Apple TV back to the defaults of the factory. And it's very easy to do. And he explained the instructions, which you take the little Apple remote and you got to hold the menu button with the minus sign, and you do this while you're plugging in right after you plug in the Apple TV, and then you get a menu that says, would you like to restore back to the factory defaults? All was well. Then I had to go back and reapply the ATV hack and I was back to normal. So I lost about an hour of time. Well, I found out something that ATV had, and they don't even advertise it. There's a free app called Remote on the in the iPhone App Store. And guess what? That free app completely controls the Apple TV. So instead of using, you know, pointing a little cursor or pointing, you know, switching to a little menu to type, my full keyboard comes up and the browser, I was able to install Firefox, install Flash. You can surf right on the TV. I can type anything like a path that's long to get to maybe a network share. So it was very, very cool being able to use this and to use the iPhone. Now, Remote, which is the remote control I bought, there's actually a nice ending to this story. That actually controls my iMac really, really well. So I use that app to take over my iMac, and then I use the other app to take over the Apple TV. I'm set. See, I want to run the world from my iPhone, and it may be possible. So very cool. Now, I have all those features. So it made me think, okay, here's CES. And what are the things coming out in CES? You have these TV boxes, and yes, I think they're a little cheaper than the Apple TV, but I can do this now, and I have access to this now. I just want to open up your mind and thinking of these things that you don't want to lock into one manufacturer. You want to make sure, and I think that's why I waited. I wanted to see what is the best way to hack it, that it works and it's proven and I can get the most features and maximize the dollars spent on the device. So that's what's really, I guess, the point here. Wait till all these come out. If you don't want to jump on now, let them come out. Let's see what people find and what they can do and how they can modify it. And I want something as open as possible. Even if I have to force it and make it open for me to be able to run my apps. That's why my original Xbox was hacked, my PlayStation. You know, it's fun. As long as you're willing to suffer the consequences if things go wrong, which they can. And I was very fortunate, you know, I was able to reset and get back to everything. Well, here's something that I know 3D is very big now with the CES and they're showing all the TVs. I don't know about you, but I've finally gotten settled in the past year with my nice LCD TV, my Blu-ray player. I am not about to go buy a 3D TV, a 3D Blu-ray player, and then a special cable on top of that, and then put glasses on. Are you kidding me? And you know something else they're finding out? That a lot of people can't handle the constant 3D. It's actually bothering them. People coming out of Avatar, and some people cannot handle that change in that visual perspective of the 3D, and you can get headaches. I am one of those people that will not be jumping on. I'll tell you, you're going to have to take me kicking and screaming before I am going to buy a 3D TV. I don't see this happening in the short term. Certainly, even in the next couple years, I don't know. Let me know your thoughts on this, on what you think about 3D TV. I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't see myself putting on glasses and wearing these glasses to watch my TV. And I'm not about to rip out everything that I've just finished setting up and paying for and doing it again. So I think a lot of people are in the same boat. Look, even Blu-ray is having a tough time making it. And I thought that thing was going to take off once the high-def DVD war was over. And, you know, Blu-ray was the winner. They kicked HD's butt. I figured, okay, this is it. It's going to be Blu-ray. And, you know, that's even slow to adapt. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, when I can go click and download a high-def movie and rent it very inexpensively and be watching it at 1080p, why am I going to spend all that money with the Blu-ray to own it? Now, of course, you own it. Now, that leads into something else, which is a utility that I'm going to have a link. And I want to let everybody know there is a utility at bitvise.com, and it's called Tunneler. and it's an SSH client. And guess what it allows you to do? To connect up and see some of those hidden folders when you rent a movie, and you can FTP it securely over to your system. Now you're left with one other problem, and this is what I'm still left with. What do you do with a high-def rented movie that has DRM in it? And there's a couple utilities out there that I was Googling, and I downloaded the trial, and it did not work. So the question is, how do you remove the DRM safely from an Apple TV movie? If you have done that and you have a utility, please email me and I will mention that, because that was the missing piece to everything, where I'd be able to, you know, then take the movie out that I purchased and then have it electronically, and to be able to take it to any content that I want to watch it, not just an Apple product. What's nice is being able to have any kind of AVI movies and be able to pull them up there and watch them, or DivX, all of the formats. That's great. Now, something I'm going to recommend. Last Friday, I was catching up on all of the CES content, and I was trying to see what was the best stream. And Tech Podcast Network did a phenomenal job. Todd, Andy, Jeff, they did great work. I was more impressed with the work done by the Techzilla team, and Techzilla had very short, quick videos on products that I really think you should check out. And if you want to catch up on a lot of the things that was happening at CES and a lot of product reviews, and just not so much a review, but a quick glimpse at the product, and especially Patrick Norton did a phenomenal job at revision3.com/CES, and you can get all that. Now, I was watching a lot of that on my Apple TV, and I was able to see that coverage, and it was very well done. They got it out there fast, and I noticed they started using the Techzilla channel for everybody else. And if you haven't caught Techzilla, that is a very, very good podcast. It's short, quick tips and tricks that you're really going to learn something every time you watch, whether it be for the Mac or for Windows. Definitely check that out. Revision 3 did a great job, and I know Tech Podcast Network, they did a great job, and there's going to be a ton of videos coming. I'm going to absorb it little bits at a time when I can, and then see what's happening. I'm more interested in some of the gadgets that are affordable, you know, that are only in the couple $100 range, not the few $1,000 range. That's something that I am always interested in, and seeing that, and seeing, you know, what's going to be the next hot little camera or hot little device. That interests me more than some of the big technologies that they, you know, that they want to, I guess, shove down our throats or start to set us up for what the next big purchases are. I know we're being set up with Avatar, where they're going to want to release that, and with it, a whole new technology that James Cameron invented, in terms of now 3D TV, 3D device to play it. That's an awful lot of money that's going to have to be spent in order to, what they will claim, is to properly enjoy Avatar when it is released as a 3D Blu-ray movie. Tell you what, let's give a listen to this voicemail.
Hey Mike, it's Eric from the Netherlands. The guy that sent you previously the mail on the small YouTube film that I made of the big computer cooling with a car radiator in a compact Reliant case. I love your show. Keep them coming. I just listened in the car, and they're great. I've got a small question. I've got a problem with the PC of my parents. I don't know what has happened, but I think they have installed or whatever, or have run a sort of a program, and I didn't know what it was, but apparently it looks like they are having troubles now with something like a Trojan horse rootkit, something like that. I'm not sure, because I'm not really familiar with this stuff, and most of the times, yeah, I don't have any troubles with viruses and so on, but now I think Windows keep popping up in the Firefox, and also I think there is a sort of rootkit install. But are there, and my real question is, are there good scanners or maybe fixers for the rootkits or whatever? And yeah, since you have talked in your most recent podcast about the viruses, I was just wondering if you got more info and good scanners. If there is one that I have to pay for that would really solve my problem, that would be great. But I have tried several things, and sometimes it even goes to blue screening when I try to fix the problem. But thanks again for all your help so far. And well, I'll just keep listening. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Eric. Actually, the last show, there was a great recommendation, which was to disable system restore. That's something you have to do. You may need a BART PE CD to boot up that will then allow you to get into the system to be able to do a cleaning. You may have to take the hard drive out, attach it as a USB using a cable to go from IDE or SATA to USB, plug it in another system, and then clean it. Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware are the two best cleaners, but they can't clean everything, unfortunately. All you can do is take a look at what the infection is. They usually identify themselves, where I've talked about Privacy Center, or I've talked, you know, about different viruses and spyware that what the that infestation will identify itself with the name. And then you can go to another clean system, Google that, and see what it took to fix it. But in the end, if it's real bad and it's going to take too long to fix, you may have to be prepared to redo the system from scratch. But certainly arming yourself with the utilities that I mentioned here will definitely set you on the right path of cleaning. Couple emails here that I want to get to. And this is from our good friend Jorge. I love this because I love hearing this, where he is not just a longtime listener, but a client. In a way, I actually helped him a couple nights with some one-on-one sessions with this. And he says, "Hi, Mike, you taught me how to fish. Now I can build websites on my own using WordPress. Thanks." And he has a link to the site. Now, I'm not going to put it up there because I don't know if he wants that advertised, but I love that, where he said, "I taught him how to fish." And that's my motto here. I'm not going to fish for you. I want to teach you how to fish. Thank you very much for that. This is from Chad. Very interesting here. This is an eFax question. And he says, "This doesn't have to be read on the show. I just want to confirm something with you. You have a free eFax account, right?" "Yes, I do." "And you mentioned you emailed them and they changed your account so you receive PDFs, right?" "No. I emailed them and said their client would not work on my 64-bit system, so they changed all of my faxes to be TIFF, so I didn't need a special client. But a listener wrote in and said you can move that to PDF and set it. And so all I did was read that email. But guess what? Here's what Chad found out. I asked because I created a free account today and want to receive as PDFs also. In the account preferences, there is a link to change delivery to PDFs, but it takes you to a page to upgrade your account. And now you have to do it to a paid account. Just wanted to make sure about what you're doing, and then I guess I will email them. Thanks for the great shows. This is Chad." And Chad, just keep that in mind. So it looks like for a PDF for eFax, if you want PDFs, you've got to have their pro account or whatever it is. You're going to have to upgrade. But if you have a 64-bit system, or just tell them you have 64-bit, they will change so you'll receive everything as a TIFF, and then you don't need that proprietary client. And that works great for me. Love the free eFax service. And then a couple shows ago, we had a list of a couple other free faxing programs that you might want to take a look at that are online. Last email, and this is from Eric, who is in the chat. And he sent me a couple emails. This is the one. And he says, "Caution, caution, and danger. I was not aware of this move to 4K sectors on hard drives. But from what I'm reading, this would fall into the must-know knowledge for any tech working on a system running Windows XP or older. In other words, pretty much every tech out there. Basically, hard drives are going to a 4K sector as opposed to a 512-byte sector to improve ECC and space efficiency. The problem is OSs older than Vista are not aware of this transition, and performance will be affected. Also, if your cloning application is not 4K aware, the cloning process will fail. Please read this on the air, Mike, since it is sure to cause major headaches when an unaware technician buys a 4K hard drive and tries to clone over Windows XP. So very interesting. Thank you for that, Eric. And let's hope that it's not going to be as bad as we think. But you know what? It just sounds bad, doesn't it? And I think, you know, we are going to have a problem. So again, there's a link to this that he has in here, and I will put that in the show notes. That's it for the tech content for show 288. I have some independent music for tonight, and the artist is Matt Miller. And the song that I have is "The Question Still Remains." Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Hidden deep within these books are truths I've overlooked, and I'm trying hard to find. And I'll keep searching every day, even if you find your way, 'cause I know that yours ain't mine. And there's only one thing that I know, that love is the answer, even though the question still remains. The question still remains. The question still remains. There's nothing that any man can preach that will teach me how to reach the life that I defy. And I'll get lost along the way if it seems that's what it takes to find some peace of mind. And there's only one thing that I know, that love is the answer, even though the question still remains. The question still remains. The question still remains. There's only one thing that I know, that love is the answer, even though the question still remains. The question still remains. The question still remains.
That is Matt Miller and the song "The Question Still Remains," and I'll have a link to his website on garageband.com. If you are embarking upon repairing that laptop, it's got a problem with the screen, there's a problem with the inverter, well, guess what? Steve Cherubino has put together the absolute best collection that you could ever have for laptop repair videos. And if you are doing it, or you know someone that's doing it, you got to check out the link on my website. Click on it and then enter the code MTS and you get an additional 10%. It is an incredible bargain and it will absolutely pay for itself. I want to thank everybody for continuing to use my Amazon link. Thank you so much for buying everything. I really appreciate it. You've been using it. And I tell you, I thought that was going to slow down. And it's actually picked up steam in the new year. And I'm really glad to see that. So continue to spread the word and tell people, hey, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, come by to MikeTechShow.com. Click on my link. Make your purchase. The price stays the same for you. But I get a little kickback for the show. And it really helps. That's it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. I'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. See you later.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.